live from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studio. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. I'm Dave Ramsey, your host. George Campbell, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. We're so glad you're here as we talk about your life and your money. We talk about helping people build wealth, doing work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. The phone number is 888-825-5225. Jacob's going to start this hour off in Fargo, North Dakota. Hi, Jacob. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hello, Mr. Ramsey. It's a pleasure to meet you. How are you doing?
Better than I deserve, sir. How can I help?
Great. So I'm a 20-year-old college student, and I recently finished my sophomore year of college, and I'm currently studying to become a nurse. I have roughly 2 years left in my program, and I'll be able to graduate debt-free in 2024.
Good for you.
In addition to that, I currently work as a CNA at a large hospital in the Fargo area, and I was recently approached by my manager, who came up with an offer for me, and she presented an offer where I would be able to work at this hospital for 3 years after graduation. In addition to that, I will receive a $30,000 sign-on bonus. Given that I'm only halfway through this program, I'm a little hesitant at the moment to take this offer, but I'm curious if this is something I should entertain.
So the only advantage to you is $30,000.
Correct. And I've had a really strong working relationship with this hospital, and I do enjoy working at this hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at options in your area for other hospitals and what the pay would be?
I have a little bit. Currently, this hospital pays about $2 less an hour than other hospitals, but it's a very good starting wage for nurses in this area, in this part of the country. So it's I consider it to be competitive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm kind of with you. Number one, let's just establish nursing, incredible career path. And as long as I've been doing this show for 30 years, there's been a shortage of nurses.
Correct.
So you've always been able to land a job, you know, and lots of different kinds of jobs, actually, within the nursing field. And so a lot of flexibility, always a need for you, that kind of a thing. So if that's kind of our baseline, then off of that, I don't think I'm tying up myself. You don't need the money. You've got a way to work your way through school with no debt. You told us that. Way to go. Good job.
Yeah.
And so the money's just kind of gravy on the biscuit. It'd be nice, but it's not like, oh, I cannot have to borrow student loans if I do this. I might think about it then. But in this case, you got your way mapped out to go all the way through, and then you're a free agent upon graduation. I'll bet you could get more than $30,000 at that point.
True. Yeah. And that's the part that I'm struggling with, is it's really hard to predict what would be out there in 2 years if we're at a peak now, if this is a good time to take an offer. But I think
there'll be I'm gonna establish the fact in my mind anyway, anecdotally, I don't have research to back it up, but that there's pretty much always a shortage of nurses. And so that means that you will be able to land something. And probably something with a signing bonus. I wouldn't doubt it a bit. So,
cool.
I kind of think that offer or better might be on the table at graduation. I might be wrong. We're gambling a
little
bit.
What's the harm in waiting until graduation?
Well, $30,000 if they don't have any more, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You miss out on that if we're wrong, right? If it's off the table. But the way I answer questions on this show is, if I woke up in your shoes, what would I do? I'm going to bet that there's going to be as good a deal or better on the table, and I'm going to say thanks. Let's talk as I get a little bit closer to graduation.
Okay. That's the advice I needed to hear, so thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you calling. Man, I got to tell you, George, this is the sharpest bunch of 20-year-olds I've run into. They're everywhere. Of course, I'll call the show, and, you know, my gosh. I mean, he has a question written out, but, you know, but still.
It gives me hope.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
People actually want to work out there.
When I was 20, nobody's offering me a signing bonus. I'm just saying, okay? I'm just saying. All right. AJ is with us for good reason. AJ's in Austin, Texas. Hey, AJ, what's up?
Hey, Dave. George, thank you guys so much for having me on today. I really, really appreciate it.
Sure. How can we help?
Well, I'm calling. I just started Financial Peace. Me and my wife started Financial Peace University about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We're on baby step number two. It has been absolutely great.
Good.
You know, we're still working on trying to get our budget figured out and how that actually works. So I'm working with the instructor there to try to help with helping us understand it a little bit more. But the reason for my call is I got a call today from a company called ADR, Alternative Dispute Resolution Center. And they said that, you know, they were going to be their legal courier, and they were going to be delivering papers to me tomorrow.
Okay.
Explaining that we had a judgment against us from Bank of America saying that we owed them $1,263.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from, they said, overdraft fee from 2007.
Does that sound like something that happened?
I vaguely remember, to be honest with you. But I guess it is somewhat possible.
I mean, did you have a bank account with Bank of America in 2007?
I'm not sure, but I think I may have. It's been so long ago, obviously. It was obviously very, if I did, it was very briefly. It was very brief in regards to having it. But I guess I'm calling.
What is going on in your life in 2007 that you can't remember who your bank was?
Well, I had recently just got drafted. I remember I had gotten drafted to play ball. And
You were paying attention to nothing. Okay, except baseball.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to anything except baseball.
Now, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right, so you think there's at least a reasonable possibility that you open an account with them and that these overdraft charges might be true?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so when they deliver it tomorrow, if they really do, that's probably BS. But when they deliver it tomorrow, call them up and offer them a settlement.
Well, the guy told me on the phone today, he said that once they deliver the paperwork, he said that I can no longer call them in order to negotiate. They said I'd have to go to, I guess, whoever the company is here or the court.
Okay.
And
we can do that.
My case before them.
That's fine. That's fine. Go to them. Because I'm saying this isn't going to be delivered.
Okay.
I'm saying this guy's lying.
Okay.
I may be wrong. But what's the worst case scenario? They deliver the papers, and then you call the new people and negotiate with them. Whoever it is, if you have a bill outstanding from 2007, wants some money, and they would love to settle with you. They'd love to take $500 and make this go away. You got a little money stored up? You could come up with $400 or $500 and make this go away?
Yes, sir.
Good. Well, don't negotiate with a dupe on the phone.
And don't give them access to your checking account either.
Under any circumstances, if you settle a debt, no access to your checking account to settle it, and you must have it in writing that the settled amount settles the debt in full. It can be an email, that's fine. But no electronic access to your checking account. George is right. This is The Ramsey Show. Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. There are moments in life we don't want to forget, like your kid's graduation or the once-in-a-lifetime trip. For the big moments, the everyday moments, and everything in between, every dollar is there to help you budget for all of it. It's the simple budgeting app that helps you plan, save, and spend for the important things. Budget for the life you really want, every moment of it. Download the app or check the link in the show notes to create your free account today. Every dollar. George Campbell, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Talking about your life and your money. The phone number is 888-825-5225. Pete is in Boston. Hey, Pete, how are you?
How are you, Dave? Thank you again for taking my call. I talked to you about 18 months ago. I followed your advice about paying off my mortgage, and you're right, the grass really does feel greener.
Way to go, Pete.
The peace of mind is priceless, but I did have another question, Dave. I'm 65 years old. I have around 2.4 million in between 401 and IRA. I also have individual stocks and taxable mutual funds worth about 520. I just sold an inherited house, and I have about $140,000. And my question to you is, I don't have any Roth account. None of my assets are in Roth. And I'm wondering, at this stage of the game, at my age, should I be getting involved with Roth? Should I use some of this money from the house to pay the federal tax
to roll some of it to Roth? Yeah. How old are you again?
Yeah. 65, going to be 66.
I probably wouldn't fool with it. You can if you want. Here's the benefit.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say that you move $400,000 to Roth, and you use this and you use $100,000 to pay the taxes. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you've got $100,000 that from this point forward will grow tax free. Now that's not going. Having traded $100 for tax free growth is not going to come out until it grows by more than $100.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you would have to commit to leave that particular account alone probably until death. And just let it be inherited.
Okay. I guess that was part of my concern is because I have three children. It would be inherited tax free for them. But I guess my concern is when RMDs come along.
Yeah, it'll help with that too. It'll help with RMDs.
Yeah, and
so that portion would not be subject to RMDs. But it won't grow enough tax-free dollars for a good decade anyway to have justified this.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you're going to leave it alone at least 10 years, and it sounds like you don't need the money. You've got enough other money.
Yes.
So yeah. you could do it. I mean, there's no harm in it. Yeah. And it does help with RMDs, and it does help with inheritance. And it does help with the fact that the money, you know, after that decade or so, but you could say, okay, how fast is that 400 going to grow, or how long does it take that 400 to grow to enough that the growth saves me $100,000 in taxes because I've already paid it?
Yeah.
It'd be close to a decade.
Yeah. So it's something you wouldn't necessarily do if you were in my position. You would, or
I would if you're going to commit to not touching this particular account for over a decade.
Okay. All right. That's I needed to know that. Ironically, just one other thing. I have a 401k, and there's about a 1.6 in the 401k. I got about 600 in the other one, in the IRA, and the IRA is the one I have a financial advisor. And it's down almost double what my 401k is. And I know this is you have to wait this market out, but it's just amazing.
Yeah. So, and when you pay attention. Now, out of this 2.6 million at 65 years old, did you start out or did you inherit a lot of money or did you start out with a lot of money or how'd you get this?
No, I'm working, putting money away all my life. I inherited about $600,000 taxable. That and the house.
After you were already a millionaire, or did that make you a millionaire?
Oh yeah, long after.
Okay,
yes.
So you were already a millionaire, and then you inherited money.
Yeah.
So you're not a millionaire because of inherited money. Okay, interesting. I always just want to verify that because there's lots of these guys out here, all across America. And for those of you that are so stupid that you think everybody inherits their wealth, it almost never happens statistically. Very few, less than 10% of Americans become wealthy are exclusively become millionaires because of, and we've got data to prove that, because of that. And so when they become wealthy and you say stupid butt stuff like, you're so lucky, luck didn't have squat to do with it. That's like looking at the farmer who just had corn grow and saying, you're so lucky after he planted the freaking corn.
Yeah, Pete didn't win the lottery to get here. He just consistently invested over a long period of time, and now he's got these kinds of options. It's amazing. But it sounds like he can do it, but not for the ROI benefits mathematically, but more for some other benefits with the RMDs and being able to pass it on.
Yeah, the ROI will be there probably in 7 to 10 years. That's what we're saying. But the trick is that the tax-free part has to offset the part that you put that money up front. And so it takes about a decade for that to work out. I've done all of mine years ago, but knowing that I wasn't going to touch it, I'll probably never touch any of those accounts
just
while I'm alive.
Just get passed on.
Yeah, and so all of them being, everything I have is in Roth now. I've converted it all and paid the taxes. And
I even
the matching portion that comes in, we convert it and pay the taxes. Courtney is in Canton, Ohio. Hi, Courtney. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. How you guys doing?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
I wanted to hear that. Not quite sure the shortened version of this. Basically, I don't have much of an income right now. My only income right now is door dashing. I am about to take an exam to get my insurance license to get an actual income and have an actual job. With the limited income that I have, I've been trying to do your baby steps for I can't tell you how long. Unfortunately, because of another relationship that I ended back in February was why I couldn't really fully do the baby steps. At this point, I have $5 in savings. My question is, what is the best way to still work towards that end goal of at least creating that $1,000 starter emergency fund with only having about $100 a week?
How come you're only making $100 a week? How many hours are you doing DoorDash?
As often as I can. A week.
What else do you do?
What's taking up your time?
I don't have a babysitter.
So it's childcare.
I have tried numerous people, and they've all, it was either my teenage sister being a teenage girl or the other person that I was able to find that got a better opportunity.
Can you find work from home right now? Maybe a customer service job online?
Studying to take my exam took up a lot of the past couple weeks.
Not an insurance
exam. And before that, yes.
An insurance exam's not that hard.
No,
How old are you,
very,
Courtney?
I don't know. 25.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing.
Before this, I was trying to start like an in-home cleaning business, so I had income since February, but since then it didn't prove to be as successful as I wanted it to be to start
what
off.
What you don't need is an income. You need to allocate more hours to work some way or another. You've got to find some way to go make some money. Because you don't have any money.
Okay.
You don't even have money to pay for food. Right? $100 a week won't pay for food.
Fortunately, I get assistance in that. But, yeah, no, if I didn't have that assistance, I wouldn't be able to.
What kind of assistance?
Food stamps.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here's the thing. The reason you don't have any money is you don't work much. So we've got to find some way. You have to find some way to find some hours or some method that the kid rides along with you. I don't know what it is that you go make money, because that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a situation. What happened if you got like a full-time job making $100,000 a year? Well, you'd have to find a babysitter.
Yeah.
You know, and what happens when you get ready to go sell some insurance? You're going to have to find a babysitter. So you're a single mom and you're going to have to solve that equation. And that's the problem you've got. There's no magic wand that makes $100 a week work. We don't have one of those. So this is an income crisis, kiddo. You have an income crisis, and you need to treat it that way. This is The Ramsey Show. Guys, it's no secret that the real estate market is weird right now. So go with a mortgage company you can trust to have your back. Churchill Mortgage. Churchill is Ramsey trusted because they're stable, reliable, and focused on you. At a time when a lot of companies are being bought out or going out of business, count on Churchill Mortgage to stick around. They've been doing things the right way for over 30 years, and they'll keep doing them the right way for 30 more. Get started at churchillmortgage.com.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. NMLS consumeraccess.org. Equal housing lender. 1749 Mallory Lane, Suite 100. Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
Ramsey personality is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. David and Sarah are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
We're doing great, Dave. How are you doing?
Better than I deserve. Welcome. So good to have y'all. So how much debt have you paid off?
We've paid off $187,000 in 2 years and 8 months.
Good for you. Good for you. And your range of income?
Range starting when we actually got in tents and started eliminating the debt, $150,000. And then about halfway through, we had our first child. And at that point, Sarah stopped working, went down to about 100, and then she's been able to work part-time from home. So we're back up to about 110 at this point.
Excellent. Good. Okay. And where are you guys from?
We're here from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And what was the $187,000 in debt?
So $12,000 was a car, $75,000 was student loans, and the remaining $100,000 was our house.
What? We paid off the house!
We did.
Weird
we
people! Did.
We are weird, and we are happy about it.
I love it. Way to go, guys. All right, what's this house worth?
So conservative estimate would be about $165,000 at this point.
Fun. Fun. Very cool. Very cool. And, oh, my goodness. How old are you two?
I'm 30.
I'm 29.
And you have a paid-for house.
We do.
That's whacked.
We do.
That is whacked. Totally. I bet you don't have any 30-year-old friends that have paid-for houses.
Not that I am aware of. I like to think of George as my friend, but...
there we go. There we go. This is good.
Ding, ding.
Starting a trend here.
I like this.
I'm really impressed with you guys. What made you, out of curiosity, go, you know what, we're not going to just tackle the car loan and the student loan. We're just going to keep plowing through to the mortgage. Are you just that weird?
I would say it took a little while to get to that point. Starting all the way back at the beginning, I grew up with your plan and a huge fan of the show for a long time, and I didn't have any debt. But then coming in to the marriage, I had never actually had the opportunity to practice the principles, and then
I had to come and tell him that I had student loans during marriage counseling, which I thought he knew, but apparently he had no idea.
That's what marriage counseling is for.
That's true.
Precisely, yeah.
Pre-marriage counseling.
Yeah, that's right.
Correct. Yeah. So anyway, I just remember telling him and thinking like, oh, he might be kind of disappointed or whatever, but his face just lit up and he was like, I get to practice what I believe.
You
were
just
so excited.
Yeah, the way he phrased that,
he's
was
like,
so healthy.
Game on. Yeah.
Yes,
I had
exactly.
The opportunity to experience
yes.
Debt. Wow.
That's exactly right. So once we were done with
your
paying off.
Your car loan also, Sarah?
So we actually... It's a longer story than this, but when we moved, so he's in the Air Force, and mm-hmm. So when we changed stations, I actually got a job before him, mm-hmm. And so bought a vehicle for my parents, but we didn't have the money to pay for it all at mm-hmm. that time, so they were gracious enough to allow us to have the vehicle and then pay them back in installments.
They were gracious enough to get you further into debt. That's
they
sweet.
They did. We just owed them.
Yes.
Wow. All right, so $12,000 and $75,000 comes with
yep.
a package.
That's
correct.
Right.
All right. Cool. And then, so you get married, and it's just both of you are talking about this, and you find out, Sarah, that you've married this guy who's thinks this is fun.
Yes.
I mean, how sick is he, really?
Pretty sick. I do remember another funny story. I came home when we were living separately because I got a job, and he was still, we were in California before, and then moved to North Carolina. And I came back to visit, and he had your book like with him in his bed, and I was like, what are you doing while I'm gone?
Her exact words were, stop sleeping with Dave Ramsey.
Oh man, they're gonna clip that one for YouTube.
I was like, oh, I meant to put that back
on the
shelf.
You said that out loud.
Oh dear,
that's fun. Okay.
Anyway,
gosh, you
but
guys.
You took it in stride and you decided, all right, game on, we're gonna
yes.
pay this thing off.
That's exactly right. Yeah, basically back to your original question.
How long y'all been married?
We've been married almost 4 years. 4 years
okay.
next week.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, thank you for your service.
Yes.
What do you do in the Air Force?
Thank you for your support. I'm a nurse in the Air Force.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.
Cool.
Good work. All right. And now we're done. House and everything.
That's right.
Yep.
So now you've officially not only studied the theory, but have actually experienced it, David.
That's right.
And Sarah, having done both as well now,
yep.
What do you tell people? I mean, you're 30 years old, you have a paid for house. That's weird. What do you? How do you do that? That's what they want to know, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I would say the biggest thing that I've learned is just learning to be content with less. Mm. So I remember very vividly, like, starting my career, because when we got married timed out to when I finished school. So I, like, quickly learned, like, now I have a discretionary income. I've never had that before, and what that looked like and how to kind of use that money in a way that we wanted to and felt like was honorable. And so quickly I learned, though, that, you know, these goals that we have and that David kind of taught me about aren't normal. And so,
no, they're not. That's why we call you weird.
That's right.
Exactly. And so for me, it was a big learning experience of just being able to feel content and just be happy in what we did have and being thankful for, you know, what the Lord has blessed us with, and being okay with not having the nicest car in the parking lot and the nicest house. I would say that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that is keeping a really firm grasp on your why, like why it is that we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Basically, we, like you, Dave, we believe that everything that we have, financial abilities, material possessions, all those are things that have been given to us. They aren't things that we've earned. And so being good stewards and being responsible stewards of the resources God has given us, starting off to build a foundation to be able to do that is what we were really, really excited about.
Yeah. What a sharp couple.
These guys are fun.
I know.
What a great, this is awesome.
Was it hard to see your friends doing all the things, having all the things, and you guys were like, nope, we're trying to pay off this debt?
At times, it would definitely be difficult. So with my job in the military, I travel quite a bit. And Dave, you are probably familiar with this. The military is not the best when it comes to financial responsibility. Telling a military coworker that you don't have an Amex card is kind of like saying, I'm from outer space and I'm here to help you. So anytime we would travel, it's like, hey, we're going to Centurion Lounge. And I'd be like, sorry, I can't get into that. And they'd be like, well, why not? Do you lose your card? And I'd be like, well, I don't have one. And then I would go spend the time at the terminal eating my leftover food rather than going to all the restaurants. So doing that over and over and over again does eventually wear on you, but you also begin to embrace it as well.
Yeah. Wow. You start to take it on as a brand.
That's right.
I'll take no payments as a flex over having an Amex.
I would agree with that. I will say the card is metal, which is kind of cool, but that's all right. Other than that,
a little tougher to cut up.
That is true. Yeah,
I have to get the tin snips out.
Yeah.
I had to do that one time. I had the big old scissors, and that guy brings me that metal card up. And I'm like, oh, man, making this hard.
A chainsaw.
Yeah, I think Amex has probably did that because of me.
You should definitely take credit for that.
They're trying to keep me from cutting them up.
I believe it.
I'm sure it was that. As a matter of fact, I'm positive, yeah. You guys are awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Well done. Who are your biggest cheerleaders?
Yeah, so we have been really blessed to just have a lot of family and friends that have been really supportive of us and like the lifestyle that we've chosen to live. A couple specifics that stand out, we have our friends Ryan and Brittany here, and they're also Dave Ramsey plan holders. They're holding our kid and their kid. and then also David's younger brother, Steven, is also a big Ramsey follower. And we've talked to both couples just about our journey, and Steven actually and his wife, Jess, they lead financial peace classes at their church.
God.
So they're very invested in good resources to chat with. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, very well done, you guys. Again, very proud of you. And you're in a rare situation. That's why we call you weird. Just very, very well done. Well, we've got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That is the next chapter in your story for sure. That's where you're headed. We're also going to give you a card for a one-year membership to Ramsey Plus, which puts you into Financial Peace University and into Every Dollar for a year. If you guys don't want to use it, it's a good, great thing to give away, get somebody else started. Same thing with the Total Money Makeover.
Absolutely.
And the gift card for this and one-year membership to that, plus the Total Money Makeover, plus the Baby Steps Millionaire. All right,
Thank you.
And Sarah, bring up your little guy here. Nathaniel is with us. $187,000 paid off in 2 years. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1.
We're debt-free!
That's fun. I love it. I love it. This is the Ramsey Show. Listen, everyone needs ID theft protection. It doesn't matter your age, how much money you have, or where you live. Once you're a victim, and it's likely to happen to all of us at some point, your personal and financial reputation gets ripped to shreds, and it's a nightmare to clean up. Having the right protection and not wasting money are key, and that's what Xander's ID Theft Protection Plan is all about. They've bundled together the services you need at pricing that can't be beat, with monitoring that includes your home title, VPN encryption, unlimited recovery services, and even stolen funds protection. You're getting a great value and dealing with people you can trust. I could go on, but you can see for yourself. Go to Xander.com or call 800-356-4282 and get the protection you need. Whether you're ditching an overpriced plan or getting protected for the first time, Xander's team are the only people I trust and recommend. Personality is my co-host today. Ann is with us in Oklahoma City. Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hi, Dave. Thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you. How can we help today?
Yeah, I want to give you a scenario, and my question will be, how should I best spend almost $200,000 in inheritance that I'm about to receive and best help my retirement and not be a burden to my children one day and also be able to retire well? Here's my scenario. I'll soon be 60 years old. I was divorced in early 2021 after many years of marriage. Mm. My net worth is approximately $600,000, excluding the $200,000 inheritance. I have no debt. Out of that $600,000, only about $34,000 of that is in retirement savings account. The rest is in rental properties and a small business that I own. Uh-huh. I have a fully funded emergency fund. My yearly bring home pay is approximately $96,000. $5,000 of that comes from the business each month, and $3,100 comes from part of my teacher's retirement and rental property income. I've been renting for a little over 2 years, and I've never had my own home. I would love to have a condo or a small home. And I was wondering, with the inheritance money, should I try to buy a small condo or home with cash, and if there's anything left over invested in mutual funds? Or should I forego buying and just put all of that $200,000 in mutual funds and let it grow, interest and all? My concern there is, if prices keep rising, will I ever be able to afford my own little place? Mm-hmm. Or do you have a different scenario you might recommend?
Well, you are really on top of this. You have done a great job of knowing where you are, and that tells me you really have probably a pretty good plan of where you're going. How much longer do you plan to work?
Well, at least till probably 65. I mean, I would love to retire at 65, but I don't know if that's realistic. 65, 67 is possible. I'm great.
What kind of business do you own?
It's a little clothing business, boutique.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Is it brick and mortar?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, as long as it remains viable, I'd probably continue to run it as long as you want to. And what I would do is begin to get more and more management involved, so you have more and more time off as you go past 67. But there's no reason it can't continue to produce an income for you up into your 70s.
Okay.
You could sell it at some point if you wanted to just quit. But my guess is what you're doing is not that physically straining, and you don't sound like you're stressed out by it.
No.
Okay. No. So I think I'm going to continue to operate as long as I can. There's no rule that says you have to quit working at any point, especially if you enjoy what you're doing. And I got a feeling with all you've been through that it probably is a bit of an escape area, an area you can go that you can control the variables, a safe place.
Yes, it's a wonderful place. Yeah. I'm very grateful to be there.
Yeah, amen.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I like your idea of buying something small and putting the rest in mutual funds, buying something that you can live in for cash, and not having any payments. And
are any of these rental properties a nuisance to you? Would you ever want to get rid of one?
No, actually, they cash flow each month. I mean, that's basically how I'm living. I'm trying to keep my personal income separate from my business income. And so, no, I don't want to get rid of them right now.
Good.
I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous. What was your question?
No, that was it.
I just wanted to know about the rental properties, just see what the options are. But I'm with Dave. I'm trying to find somewhere like I can pay with cash. And that's going to reduce your expenses, which means you can live off a whole lot less, even in your retirement.
Yeah.
So that's the goal.
And invest what would have been a rental payment or a house payment. Now, here's the reason to do that. Okay, when you buy a piece of property with 100% down, obviously, in this case, for your retirement years, you're 60. Mathematically, there's a very high likelihood you live until 90.
Right.
Average death age of a female in America is 76, but that includes infant mortality and teenage death. And so once you're a healthy 60-year-old, 90 is a high probability, statistically speaking. Okay? Now, obviously none of us ever know exactly. We don't get to decide all that. But anyway, so now if that means you got 30 years from today, give or take, that you are going to pay increased rent payments every year for 30 years. It's going to go up every year. Or you're going to take your largest expense item in your budget, which is housing, and make it stabilize or go away.
Right.
And the asset is going up in value. So you stabilize the largest payment you have. In your case, you're going to make it at zero. But even if you took out a house payment, in your case, you would stabilize, and at least, you know, you'd have the same payment throughout the rest of your life.
Right.
And versus rent going up every year. And the house is going up in value every year. So that's two major reasons. But it adds a huge level of peace and stability to be a homeowner as you head into retirement, particularly if the home's paid for. So I'm all in with you spending, you know, the vast majority of this $200 to do that and putting the rest in mutual funds, then commit what was your old rent payment out of your income, at least, if not more, into additional investing ongoing, and let's build that nest egg up.
Yeah, I love this plan. And if you have tax-advantaged retirement accounts you can do that with, I know she's a small business owner, so she
lots
may
of stuff she can
have
do.
Some self-employed, you know, solo 401k or SEP IRAs and things of that nature.
Yeah, you can do SEP IRAs, you can do solo 401s, that's exactly right, and do a Roth. And do all of it and put it all in mutual funds and just see how rich you can become in the next 10 years. I'll bet you could have $1.5 million in 10 years in mutual funds. I'll bet you could get there.
Not a
without
bad
a single house payment in the world making $100,000 a year. I'll bet you it could be done. And have a decent life while you're doing it.
And those rentals will go up in value over time as well.
And those rents coming to you, not going to someone else.
I like this plan.
This is going up. So just like your investments go up, that is an investment. And those rental values will go up as well. Connor is with us. Connor is in Pittsburgh. Hi, Connor. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
All right. So my question is kind of a long-term question about bridge investing. So my situation is I just turned 26. I make $50,000 a year. I have $30,000 in a brokerage account, $20,000 in Roth IRAs and 401k. I have a house that is valued at $250,000. I owe $127,000 on it.
You don't need to worry about bridge money right now.
Well, so the reason I'm asking that is I had a conversation with my mom, and she is deciding that she's going to pay the house off for me within the next year or so.
That helps.
And so... So I wanted to know, you know, my family's done well in real estate, grandparents and parents and such. And so I kind of always leaned that way, but I have cerebral palsy and I've seen just it takes a lot physically to care for a bunch of rental properties.
No, it doesn't. So, if you hire somebody to do it.
Yeah. So that was part of my question was, would you just hire a management company or is there some other way you would do it?
Yeah, but you got to ride herd on them, but that's an intellectual process, not a lifting a hammer or concrete block process. So right, you have to watch them and make sure they don't charge you $800 for a water heater that should have been $400. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I can definitely handle that.
And make sure that they're actually paying attention when the house is empty and getting it filled back up. Is there a sign in the yard? Are they keeping the grass cut, the bushes trimmed so that the house is marketable when it turns over? So you got to watch your property still, but you don't have to do the physical lifting and the day-to-day negotiating and dealing with tenants. You'll be just fine with that. So if you're saving up to buy some rentals for cash, I'll be fine with that after mom pays off your house. That'd be pretty cool. Put you in a really good situation.
Way to go, Mom. That's really cool.
Yeah, but that does not mean you need to do bridge investing exclusively. You need to do all you can put into retirement, and you'll still, without a house payment, have room to do some bridge investing that you can turn into some paid-for real estate. So, very cool. Good question and good clarification. Thanks. This is The Ramsey Show.
Do you love a good Dave rant? Want to see the latest Ramsey Show videos going viral? Check out your favorite moments from The Ramsey Show on YouTube. Go watch and subscribe to The Ramsey Show channel on YouTube. Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.